Good afternoon and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is the arts and funding. We're headed into a climate of lower expectations for our state financially. Schools are looking at serious cuts. Our dreams seem to be getting a little smaller, a little tighter. In times like these, who funds the arts and why? Are the arts a frill? Are they a perennial victim of capitalism? The bottom line means everything? What public good do the arts offer? If they are so important, why do we struggle to support them? If you're an artist, or an arts consumer, or the leader of an arts organization trying to link budgets to performances and audiences to art, we'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Here to share viewpoints and expertise are four leaders or influencers in the Alaska arts world. I'd like to welcome Diane Kaplan from the Rasmussen Foundation. Hi, Diane.
Hi there.
Welcome to Hometown Alaska. Holly McGuinn, who is the director of the Alaska Design Forum and also works with the Object Runway. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you.
This is a return visit from Holly.
Yes.
We were here about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then new to us is Brooklyn Baggett. Hello, Brooklyn.
Hello.
And she's with Anchorage Community Works, which is a new, relatively new, this year, roughly, maybe last year, late last year?
This summer. Yep.
And so we're really anxious to have that discussed. After we take a break about 2:30, we're also going to be joined by a fourth person, Shannon Dowd from the Alaska State Council on the Arts, is going to slip in here and take a seat and join the discussion. So we have four folks ultimately talking about arts today. My goal is to let each of them tell us a little bit about something that's important to their arts organizations right now, or their supportive arts organizations. And then ultimately, we're just going to have a free-flowing conversation about how the arts are doing and what we're doing right, what we're maybe not doing right, how the climate is changing, how we can respond to that climate. There seems to be new affiliations between business and art. That's really interesting. I'd love to talk about that. So I was sincere when I said if you're an artist or you're an arts consumer or you're trying to keep an arts organization afloat, we'd love to hear from you and share your viewpoints on the show today. I'm going to throw out the phone numbers for you so you can call. Locally, it's 550-8433. And if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. Or you can send us an email to hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I'd let you know that all the organizations we're talking about today, we have links to their websites on alaskapublic.org. So you can find, if you're curious about what you hear today, you can find out more on our website. So I'm going to turn to Diane. Actually, the Rasmussen Foundation sparked this show by just saying we have individual artist grants and we have a big window open and we want people to know about it. And so I thought, okay, let's do that. And let's also broaden it to arts more generally. But I want to start with those individual artist awards. So go ahead and tell us about the program.
I'd love to talk about that. It's coming up March 1st is our deadline for our annual Individual Artist Awards. This is our 10th year doing these awards, and it came out of a consultation we did 10 or 11 years ago when Rasmussen Foundation was fortunate to receive a good portion of the proceeds of Elmer Rasmussen's estate, and we were able to start thinking about doing some things other than what we had been doing over the years. So we convened, I would say, about 18 or 20 people from around the state. Some of them were from arts organizations, some were artists, some were a combination of the two, most are. And we spent 2 days in a room to figure out what were the things that we could do would have impact on the arts in Alaska. And very surprising to us, the number one thing that came out of that process was making this a place where individual artists want to be and want to live and want to work. So whether it was the organizations or the individual artists, in terms of having high impact, getting money directly into the hands of the artists was the outcome of that. So we did. You have to go, if you're a foundation, through a process to be able to do that. But I would say it's one of the most rewarding programs we've ever done.
You know, I visited your website and I was blown away. I mean, I've known this was going on, but when you see it amassed in one space and you see how many artists, how much money, how it's across the state, it just blew my mind. And I don't know whether it feels like it gets enough attention. I mean, it was something like 2.3 million, 302 artists. I was seeing, you know, funding for Anchorage at the levels of 800,000, almost a million, but communities, you know, tiny little communities getting $25,000 for various, you know, artists in their community. So it's really sweeping. But I guess it was, you know, a family passion to support the arts, but it's not many foundations actually do that, especially individual artists. I mean, it can be risky, it can be challenging. There can be art that's very controversial. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, of course, you know, one of these days somebody will do something with their grant that somebody doesn't like. And when we first got into this business, I said to our board, just know what you're getting into. This will happen. It's not a question if, it's just a question of when. And we use independent panels to judge the individual artists' awards. So all of the panelists are from outside of Alaska. The idea is to give everybody a fair shot at getting a grant so no one could say the panel was biased. Pretty much everything is new to the panel, so they're really judging talent.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. They don't know if the person is young, is old, is
it's
experienced.
Blind. It's blind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, occasionally, obviously, someone might recognize something. But in general, I think it's a pretty fair process. And we're somewhat removed from the decision making other than managing the process. We have people we respect who know the different disciplines of the arts. Mm-hmm. For there are one distinguished artist of Alaska that is done by people in the state, because that's recognizing a lifetime achievement really in the arts for the state of Alaska.
Yeah.
So that, of course, has to be local. But other than that, that's how it goes. You know, there's a study that was done around the time we got into this, and it may shock people to know, but this was a very broad study of the American public and attitudes towards the arts. And the statistic that stood out is that 73% of... I'm sorry. Yeah, it was about 73% said that the arts are very, very important, extremely important in American society, but only 27% of Americans said artists were very important in American society.
Interesting.
And that disconnect is something that we want to close. We want people, when they see art, to realize there was an artist that made it, and that's why they have it.
It's kind of like, so, we don't know where our food comes from. We don't know where our art comes from. It actually has a point of origin with an artist.
Yeah. Well, artists deserve a lot more credit in improving our quality of life, making it a great place to live, than they get.
Yeah.
So they're taken for granted a little, not just here, but everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we want to change that.
And I think the support is growing, right?
Yes.
Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the awards are larger. We figured it's been 10 years. The cost of living has gone up. So we have project awards. We have fellowship awards. And we have the Distinguished Artist Award. And we've raised those a little bit this year. So it means that it provides a little bit more money. The projects are generally buying stuff or attending a workshop or taking a little time off of work. The fellowships are more for the artist's professional development and growth. And then the Distinguished Artist is really, as I said, achievement over a period of time. So, but, you know, the average size grant, I hate to say it, in the Pacific Northwest is $2,500. That's the average size arts grant. So our fellowships, you know, being 20 are big awards for individual artists.
Yeah.
And
I also noticed that you kind of move around the arts. The arts is a big, so,
yes,
you know, can you
multidiscipline.
Tell us what's up for, if you're one of these kind of artists, you can apply this year?
Well, the project grants are open to all artists in all disciplines every year, and as is the Distinguished Artist. And then we have several disciplines, and I'll get that information for you in a second.
Oh, I think
about
I,
it. Yeah. You probably have it. I don't
sure
want to misspeak.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to be on the other side of the world today. Just happened to land in your thing. So
yes,
we look at the arts very broadly. In terms of choosing the fellowships, which would be the little bit larger awards, and those are the $18,000 awards, up from 15. This year it'll be media arts, so that could be audio, radio, film, video. Multidisciplinary, which would be cross-sector work, And that could be any sectors whatsoever. Music composition, presentation, interpretation. That could be a performer who is working in theater, who's working in music in any of the disciplines, and visual arts.
Yeah. So really
painting,
broad.
Sculpture.
Yeah. So a slam poet could be one of the performing artists.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So room for everybody.
Yeah. We're pretty flexible about the categories.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, one of the people I was talking with getting ready for the show said, will anybody ever pay for a poet? And this is how a poet might get paid in advance.
Exactly. And we have funded poets, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, we have funded poets. So let's move around the room and talk about some of the other arts groups we've got in. I'm going to go to you, Brooklyn. You're on the board for Anchorage Community Works. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and what's going on there?
So Anchorage Community Works was started this past summer. I think we opened our doors in August. We're operating out of a converted warehouse down in Ship Creek. And we're providing, primarily our main goal is to provide space for local artists to produce. So we have art studio, we've got a large workbench area, and then we also have shared workspace. So we're providing regular members daily access to the physical space they need to be able to, you know, write their next play or write their slam poetry or make their screen prints. And then we also use the space to provide local classes and workshops, lectures, events, concerts, art exhibitions, and various kinds of events open to the public.
How did you guys come together? You've got a board, a very interesting group of people from a lot of different walks of life. And what sparked this?
So the actual operating board, there's four of us that started it. Myself and my three co-founders, we're all kind of looking for space for very different things. I wanted a venue. I wanted to be able to put on shows, and my past is in
entertainment
and music and concert production. And the other members, one, Craig Updegrove, is a local artist and was looking for a studio space to share all of the massive amounts of equipment that he has for screen printing, and just was looking for a physical studio space for that. Cody Ogdahl is a local resident doctor who is very supportive of the local bicycle community, and also kind of our very hands-on guy, and wanted a physical workshop space for people like jewelers or leathersmiths or people who wanted to work on bikes.
Oh, so bike repair is okay there too.
Bike repair is encouraged, yes.
Okay.
And then our fourth, Paul Clark, he's a WordPress computer programmer, was looking for physical space for co-working.
Yeah.
He runs his own business here and was working out of his living room, and he knew other people locally who were looking for just a place to go work every day.
Yeah.
So we also have some office space for folks like that. So the four of us just kind of all were looking for space, and we were all friends and
there's
a cool warehouse.
Those warehouses down there by the railroad that, so I actually haven't visited your space. I feel really, you know, bad that I haven't been down there, but is it very rustic? Is it broken
up? It was rustic.
Uh-huh.
We've spent probably about 6 months and probably too much money making it not so rustic, but I mean, it's definitely an industrial warehouse. That's been converted into a nicer space. It's definitely an assembly space, and it's warmer and cozier than I think it probably ever has been.
Did you get a grant to do it, or did you all throw in your bucks together? How did it happen?
We actually threw in plenty of personal bucks, but we also did a Kickstarter campaign this summer and raised about, I want to say, 20, 30 grand on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of just community support actually funded a fair amount of our initial renovations, which was great. We haven't delved into the grant application world yet.
Yet. Okay, still to come.
Yeah.
All right, and do you have any events coming up that you want to alert people to?
We do have an event on the 24th of this month, an all-ages show, and then we've got just probably six different events next month, which I would just be mistaken to
try.
I won't know all the dates, but there's a bunch of all-ages shows and a First Friday exhibit with Drew Michael actually in February, which I think will be great. But our website has
lots of stuff
and a calendar on there.
Yeah.
So
all right. Okay, now I want to go to Holly. Holly was last here as a participant in Object Runway. This year she is not something walking down the runway this time, but you're still involved. And you're also now the director of the Alaska Design Forum. So first of all, Object Runway is tomorrow night, so tell us a little bit about that.
All right, okay. Well, I just want to clarify that. The last time I was here, I was one of the sort of project managers for Object Runway, and this year, the Alaska Design Forum is formally collaborating with the International Gallery of Contemporary Art on Object Runway. So I'll talk a little bit about that, and then I'll talk a little bit about the Design Forum. I'm a member of the International Gallery, and I'm also a board member. I've been a board member for, five, six, seven years.
Anymore.
No.
Yeah.
From the first time I walked into the International Gallery, I felt really welcome there. And that's something that I feel that as an organization, they really tend to be very supportive of artists, because I walked in there as an artist. And I felt at first, I was from out of state, and I said, what is this place, International Gallery of Contemporary Art? It felt a little bit, you know, elitist just by the title. Mm-hmm. But you walk in and, you know, now the executive director, Michelle Suklin, she is just wonderful and very welcoming. And they're consistently supportive of the artists. So let me talk a little bit about Object Runway. So Object Runway is in our fifth year. It started 5 years ago as an idea of the International Gallery of Contemporary Art, really of Julie Decker, this idea that she had about bringing art outside of a gallery. And also a community arts event. Like, how can we do something really cool, that's something different that Alaska would, that Alaska really needs, and that people can get involved in. We weren't even sure anybody was going to come. So that first year, we had it at the Anchor.
Oh, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Anchor
people were standing out on the sidewalk, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was jammed.
Yeah, and we were thinking, okay, well, you know, we'll get our, I feel that there's a very supportive community of artists and people who are really passionate about the arts here in Anchorage in particular, and in the state as a whole. But, you know, my experience has been here in Anchorage. And so the, you know, this sort of amorphous group of people who anyway, we got started on this idea. A lot of us participated, but then also helped with, you know, build the stage and get the word out and do all these different things for the event. We weren't even sure people were going to come. We opened the doors and people weren't, just like you're saying. I mean, it was hard to see the stage because it was something like, let's just do this. Let's see how it works out. And it has grown every year to the point of, as most people know, you can't even get tickets this year.
You can't get a ticket, yeah.
We publicized that it sold out in 8 hours, but realistically, about 6 hours.
Wow.
And, yeah, we have over 500 seats.
You're at the Beartooth again?
We are at the Beartooth.
You're not having any remote monitoring, so people can't go to some other site and watch this?
Oh.
That's the next step, right?
Thank you. That's probably the solution. Everyone says, we got to move it. But I have to say, when we're talking about, you know, these are the... how Object Runway as a vehicle for sort of community arts, how it's been successful. It's been successful because the staff, Beartooth has been so supportive of us.
Mm-hmm.
And let us have it. Like the very first year, they didn't know anything about it. They're like, oh, this sounds cool. This is a different way to think about our space.
Yeah,
and so let's try this. And so we love working with them. They've been so fantastic. And there have been times they're like, okay, let's see if we can.
Yeah.
They're going to kill me for saying this, but I'm saying it anyway. Let's see if we can, you know, have an aerialist hang from. And they don't even blink an eye. They're like, all right, let's see if we can do that.
So
we're just really wonderful. There's just a wonderful group of people. But, you know, the other thing about Object Runway that I want to say is that there are so many people involved. Most importantly, and everyone's important, but I need to just put something out there. Thank you. Shout out for Michelle Suklin, because she is the director of the International Gallery. She does not take a salary for being the director of the International Gallery. She told me this morning, all I have been doing since I wake up or until I go to sleep at night is Object Runway. And she doesn't get a single penny for it. And I want to applaud her because she's really...
Well, that does reinforce the starving artist idea, which we're trying to figure out. How can we sustain our artists if it's really like that? But the passion is
but
there.
It is true. It is truly, you know, it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people involved this year. I think we have, you know, give or take 40 volunteers. It does not function as a fundraiser, and that is something
that
I want.
That was new, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, we tried to have it function as a fundraiser, but... realistically, it doesn't function as a fundraiser. So
I think Michelle called it community outreach.
It is definitely community outreach. and
it's like, a party that everybody wants
is,
to go to.
It is a party. And one of the things I really have been loving about it and trying to embrace about it is that there are so many people who feel ownership of it, which I am really grateful for. So I can speak to it from, you know, my perspective as the director of the Design Forum or as a board member of the International Gallery, but it has a life of its own. And, you know, you'll talk to the stage crew, Buckwalski's Construction, they've, you know, donated for every year to come in, and I think they start tonight at 10:30,
building
the stage.
Yeah.
Right? Now we have a whole production team of people that we've employed, sort of. I mean, mostly volunteer.
Uh-huh.
We've got from people who are the production team to the stage design to graphic design. It's just a whole group of people.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I've seen a guy dressed in hockey gear on ice skates.
See him again.
He might be back.
That's Don Quixote. We all know him.
Yes. I've seen dresses that look like trees.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen amazing high heels by
Wearing high heels.
And trees wearing high heels, yeah. So anyway, any teases to what to expect?
Expect the unexpected. Okay. We always love to get the descriptions that the designers write because we ask them for it ahead of time.
Yeah.
We wring it out of them.
Yes.
And
they don't want to talk about it.
Well, some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. But, ultimately, there are no restrictions. There's no restrictions on being a designer. It opens, slots fill, and then we have to close it. The only reason we have to close it is because we have limited space because the backstage is effectively the balcony at Beartooth, and we keep the entry fees very low. And I'm sorry if I say the wrong amount, but it's about
how many people are gonna. How many dresses do we see, or outfits objects do we see?
I mean, it's really space. So I'm just gonna say roughly 70 designs, roughly 62 designers.
Mm-hmm.
A couple
of special judges too
this year. Yes, which is a really good tie-in to the design forum. First of all, I'll talk about the two local judges. We have Don Decker, who is well known in the arts community. He's an art teacher. He's an artist, and he's
well known.
And then we have S.J. Klein, who is the owner of Alaska Sprouts, and I think he really he's an entrepreneur. I mean, but he's also been involved in the arts community. So I think he really typifies the type of person that helps arts organizations thrive. And also his wife, Karen Larson, who is involved in, I mean, she's the design forum. She's involved in the International Gallery. Yeah. And I feel like every time I go somewhere, I hear, Moose's Tooth donated beer for this, like, event or something. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way about Karen. I was telling her this yesterday. Every time I go somewhere, I'm like, oh, Karen, look at this beautiful poster. Karen designed it. Oh, she did it voluntarily. So, talking about Karen, she was on the board of the International, I'm sorry, she was on the board of the Design Forum for a long time. And the Design Forum, I'd like to talk
We do want you to talk about this. And then we're going to throw it open to everybody to talk about ours. But go ahead. Because I think people do know of the Design Forum. Mm-hmm. I see the lecture series. I want to go to the, and sometimes I just don't make it and I'm mad at myself. So I do
you
want you to,
be.
Yes, I am mad at myself. And isn't there a lecture coming up on Friday?
There is a lecture. There's also a workshop that's really exciting. It's called Rhythm Knitting.
Which got me right away. Rhythm Knitting.
And it's going to be put on by Steinan Sigurd, who is the Icelandic fashion designer. She's the third judge for Object Runway. So there's the collaboration between the Design Forum and International Gallery is supporting the judge. So she's actually in Fairbanks, hopefully, if she lands. But on Tuesday night, she was in Juneau because the Design Forum is a multi-city. We have
Juneau, Fairbanks, Anchorage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So every lecturer that we have come to Anchorage, prior to that, they've been in Fairbanks, and prior to that, they've been in Juneau. Hopefully, they've landed in Juneau. But so Steinan is coming to be the Object Runway judge on Thursday. She will then on Friday present a free. I call it family-friendly event called Rhythm Knitting. It's an international gallery from 4 to 6 p.m. It's open. We'll have a percussionist. She's going to teach us how to knit with our hands.
So I was going to ask you what the rhythm part of this knitting was.
Mm-hmm. There's a percussionist.
Uh-huh. So
when I first heard about this, I was like, how's this going
to
work?
Knitting to beats?
But then I saw the video. She's actually done this at the Parsons School of Design, but she's really excited about it being family-friendly, as am I. And to me, I see it really functioning as a way to this crossover with design. She's a designer and she wants to talk about how how they knit in Iceland because a lot of her work is knitwear. And so she's then going to be lecturing at the museum at 7 p.m.
Okay, on Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now I need to pull you other voices back in here and talk a little bit about some of the things we heard. You know, I often think artists would be doing this whether or not anyone ever paid them, and yet they can't sustain themselves unless they do get some funding. And so I guess I want to talk about, really sustainability. Maybe artists aren't the best business people, but there's a business element to this. So I just kind of want to throw it open. How can, you know, and we're also moving into times of fewer federal dollars, maybe fewer state dollars. So let's just kind of go for it. I'm opening it up.
I think, I hate to say it, if artists go into this field hoping to support themselves or get, not even just support themselves, if they go into it expecting to get an extremely good living out of it, it's like going into the NFL, you know, having that as your goal mm-hmm. if you're a football player as a kid. Mm-hmm. It's just very, very few artists who do their art for love that also make a living at it. Mm-hmm. Even some of the most prominent artists in a lot of fields, almost all of them teach and earn their sort of basic
they have a day job.
Salary.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I met Rasmussen Foundation is part of an organization called the United States Artists that gives fellowships like we do in Alaska on a national basis. And Kathy Opie was one of our first United States artists. She's a photographer from Los Angeles. She actually came up and did a residency with Perseverance in Juno, the theater company. And she had a show at the Guggenheim the year that we did it, which is about as good a show as you can get as a photographer, and yet she cannot earn a living selling her photographs. So
yeah.
Very few can. If your art is more commercial, obviously, still the number of people out of all the people who do it who make a living at it is very small. So it's generally a passion that an individual just can't say no to.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't generally get a lot of support from your family.
No.
When
no.
you say, and you don't, and sometimes your friends and sometimes your spouses.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but some people just have that inside of them and they can't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully there are enough people around to appreciate them so that we'll the word starving
up.
Doesn't have to be
yes,
in front of
doesn't
them
have
when
to
they
be
say artist.
Part of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that's true about art is we want it around. It makes our community more interesting. Artists are interesting people. Often, if artists move into an area, it thrives. It you know, restaurants follow, coffee shops follow. I know, you know, there's a reason why the business community would like art. And there is, I know, the live, work, play movement here in Anchorage, and I sort of want to go to you, Brooklyn, because I saw your website. It said Think Work Play. Are you at all affiliated with that? And is there, a sense of the business world recognizing the value of arts?
So I was actually I hadn't really thought about that much until
really?
You asked me that question. I was like, but no,
there's, so there's no connection.
There's not really any connection. I mean, I'm very much involved with Live Work Play, and I'm on the committee for creative placemaking, which is one of the main focus areas. So there is a connection, just in that we both, as separate organizations, understand how astronomically important it is for economic development for arts to be kind of the focal point. But as far as Think Work Play, it's just, you know, we have a building where we have people who
worked.
Like to think and
it
work and play.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that especially from an economic standpoint, like what they're doing with Live, Work, Play, but especially with this kind of creative placemaking focus is really understanding kind of what you're saying, that if we have the art and we have the community that supports the art, we have artists that want to live here and we have artists that want to move here from other places. And our artists want to stay here rather than go to Portland or Seattle or out of the country to go make it. I think that if we, you know, as much as we can support our artists here, they may not make a living doing it, but we can at least get them the exposure and kind of the nurturing environment that they need in order to feel like they're really being supported.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would make huge waves in our own economic development mm-hmm. As a state.
You know, one of the things I thought about reading your website was, is community among artists almost more important to you than art? I mean, it feels very much like you're trying to make a home for artists where, you know, at the community works. And, you know, I feel like when I look around town and I see people who cluster together and socialize together, a lot of artists are with other artists. There is that cohesive support. And I wondered for you, is that one of your themes in community works?
Well, I think a lot of the times artists kind of work in their own little silos.
Mm-hmm.
And although there is community, there's still, especially in comparison to other cities that I've lived in, Anchorage specifically, like there's very distinct communities of artists that don't have as much overlap and collaboration as I think they should. But when you have this kind of community sense, I think that you're getting inspired by other people and you're challenging each other. So for us, it's really important because we want interdisciplinary crossover, for one. But we also want someone to have a place where they can go, even if they're not feeling creative, and see someone else doing something and making something and kind of...
Maybe spur them on.
Yeah, you know, but just also like have, you know, constructive feedback and really have a forum to communicate with other artists in a constructive way.
Yeah, but be with your tribe in a way.
Yeah, but we need one big tribe, one big art tribe, the whole state.
Okay, yeah. Holly, you are an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been listening to people talk about artists and starving artists and, you know, not being able to... Why don't you weigh in a little bit on your thoughts? I mean, personally, you've made the arts your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have work in the arts, but you also are an artist. Yes. So is that the path?
It's a very winding path. But at the same time, you know, one thing that I'm acutely aware of, and I have to pay my bills like everybody else. But I think a lot of times when we start talking about monetary value, especially when it comes to the arts, things get kind of convoluted. And I just, you know, I think it's really important to start zeroing into on art for art's sake. And I also have to say that from my perspective, both from the International Gallery and also with the Design Forum, I really feel like there is a lot of collaboration. I mean, I'll see, you know, like... talking about Karen or SJ, or I'll see somebody at an event, and it's sometimes it's for one organization or for another. With the Design Forum, the series, this bullying lecture series that we have coming up, we're working with Beartooth. We also have support from Suzy Q, which is a local business.
Very fun business.
Yeah, we've got Far North Yarn Company, and then, of course, we're collaborating with these other organizations, IGCA, and, of course, the museum. We've got something coming up with the museum called Cabin Fever. I mean, we're not really... I'm not talking too much about it right now, but it's something that's just kind of coming up.
Still under the covers.
Involved. Yeah. but... Just in terms of like the Design Forum and how it works, we have been funded by the National Endowment for the Arts, but the Design Forum has existed for 20 years, and I am the first paid staff.
Wow!
And yes, and so the people who are on the board. Klaus Mayer has done a lot of networking, getting incredible guests to come up here.
To take a little break. I want to come back and talk about collaboration, because I know when we were getting ready for the show, you and I were talking about, you know, what are the new trends in arts? How, you know, maybe I do have a question. Do we have too many arts organizations? You know, do they need to blend? I don't know the answer to that. I just want to hear what you guys want to say. So if you've been listening, this is really a kind of a loose conversation about arts and funding. We have in the studio with us right now Diane Kaplan from the Rasmussen Foundation, Holly McGuinn with Alaska Design Forum and participating in Object Runway, Brooklyn Baggett with Anchorage Community Works. And after the break, we expect to see Shannon Dout here from the Alaska State Council on the Arts. So we'll be back. If you're an artist or you're a consumer of arts and you want to, you know, tell us anything about how you feel about the way arts are supported in Alaska, we'd love to hear from you. And we'll be right back after a short break. This is Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. Our topic today is arts and funding. We've talked about starving artists and how they shouldn't have to starve to survive, but definitely they have to have a lot of passion to do the things that they do. But there's a lot of support, there's a lot of interest, there's a lot of vitality in the arts in Anchorage, and you'll witness it here today when you listen to some of the folks we have. I welcome back Diane Kaplan from the Rasmussen Foundation, who just spoke a lot about the individual artist grants that are really significant in Alaska for our artists. Holly McGuinn.
McQuinn.
McQuinn. from Alaska Design Forum, welcome, and Brooklyn Baggett from the Anchorage Community Works. And we snuck somebody into the studio at the break, and it's Shannon Dowd from the Alaska State Council on the Arts. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah. And so we were talking about collaboration, but I really want to give you, everybody had a shot to talk about their arts organization and a little bit about what they're excited about right now. Why don't you take a minute and tell us, I know a lot of money comes through the Alaska State Council on the Arts, NEA money, individual grants. So just go ahead and bring us up to speed with your group.
Absolutely. So we are a state agency, so we're part of state government, and we serve the Alaskan public through the arts. So our constituents are all the citizens of Alaska, and we use the arts to serve them. We have a variety of different programs. We receive money from the National Endowment for the Arts and from the state, as well as we have a partnership with the Rasmussen Foundation.
I did not know that.
Yes, yeah. We help administer a number of their grant programs, or right. We manage and administer for arts education and presenting and touring. In addition to those grants, we also do a number of activities. One thing kind of pertinent to the conversation you all have been having is our Contemporary Art Bank program. So we purchase works from Alaskan artists and then loan them out to state buildings throughout the state and also in D.C. All of the electeds in D.C. have pieces in there.
Alaska art.
Yeah, and so we're paying Alaskan artists, which I think is really important.
That is the topic today.
Yeah, pay artists.
Be sure to pay your artists.
Yes. And we have one event coming up next week, actually, which is really exciting. We are hosting the Governor's Awards for the Arts and Humanities in Juneau. We changed the format up entirely this year. It used to be in the fall. Now it's in Juneau during session, and it's no longer a plated dinner. It's a performance event. So we have...
is this the first time it's not a dinner?
Yes.
Wow.
To my knowledge.
Did you do that?
Well, we wanted to kind of refresh it. Nina Kempel is the director at the Alaska Humanities Forum, and we put this on in partnership, and she's also relatively new to the position. And we went last year, and it was a wonderful event, but, you know, we all go to a lot of those plated dinners a lot, and we thought, why don't we really use this opportunity to really spotlight our Alaskan artists? Mm-hmm. So we have Bamua playing, Aku Matu, Allison Warden will be doing a rap. Nora and Dick Dauenhauer, our state writer, is Nora Dauenhauer right now. Ishmael Hope and Leslie Kamika Ward, among some other performers. So
wow.
It should be
that
really
sounds
fun
exciting.
Event.
It yeah. sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the other thing we have coming up is our statewide arts conference, May 1st through 3rd. And we're really, we're actually hiring an artist director for this because we want to infuse arts into this conference and also give artists a lot of opportunity for professional development. So we'll be doing a really high-level professional development workshop that's being put on by Creative Capital, which is an organization out of New York. It's one of the best professional developments for artists I've ever seen.
So this is a conference for artists.
And arts organizations.
Mm-hmm. And then you're bringing in expertise?
Yes, yes.
Cool.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing one as well that's specifically for musicians. So there will be those two really high-level intensive all workshops right. for artists.
Well, that was a lot of information, so I want people to know that they can get to the Alaska State Council on the Arts website off of alaskapublic.org.
Great.
Wow, the energy in the room is really amazing, and I guess I just really want to use this opportunity to have a conversation about arts in Alaska, and what messages do you all really want to get out there in terms of what we're doing right, things you'd like to see different. We could start with collaboration because certainly just even in the break, Brooklyn and Holly were talking about a collaboration that we hadn't even mentioned. Mm-hmm. So, let's just talk about that. What helps arts survive besides money? It takes more than money, but it does take money. It sounds like people they come from the same... You know, they recognize each other. They recognize the passion in each other then support it. You know?
That's exactly it. I mean, that's the word I would use is passion. You have to be, you have to really be passionate about the arts. I just kind of want to say that from my perspective, it's something that I've always worked in either peripherally or directly. And that is because I have a passion. And I have a passion for, arts but also design education and arts education. And that's something that I think, you know, it can happen in a lot of different ways. Like, with the design forum, our goal is to provide design education. And so we do that through our lecture series. We have a lot of different programs. And my goal is really to expand that into the community.
Do you feel like you go to the same audience all the time and you're really...
Well,
and what's that about? What do you think?
Well, I have had people say to me, they're just like you had mentioned, I hear about the design forum, but I maybe don't make the effort take that next step to attend the lectures. And I am really hoping to change that. I'm hoping that people start seeing the design forum as a really accessible organization that really promotes design education and things like partnering on Object Runway. It made a lot of sense for us to do it. But then also like the Rhythm Knitting Workshop and partnering with the museum and IGCA on other events, and then partnering also with other businesses who are interested in supporting the arts in different ways, small or large, and developing programs and projects that are specific to Alaska, I think is really important so that people feel that they have some kind of accessibility. And I'll give an example with, staying in this Icelandic fashion designer. The person walking down the street might say, What can I learn from an Icelandic fashion designer? I'll tell you two things. She's gonna, in her lecture, she's gonna be talking about what she's done to build her business, her fashion label. And she says, I'm gonna talk about the things that I've done wrong. And I was like, I think that's a great idea because that makes you accessible to people. And that to me is really important. And then with the rhythm knitting that she's presenting, I said, I've really been focusing on getting kids from the community. She says, that is great. That is what I'm looking for. And like I said, she presented this at Parsons School of Designs. We're really excited about having her. But at the same time, it's something that, you're a mom, you're passionate about the arts like I am. Mm-hmm. And I have my kids. It's like, let's go. Let's all go. Let's have a good time.
I can just see all these little kids knitting.
Doing these really fun things. We're also doing some other projects that, like Site, which is something that's coming up where we're going to be taking people around to architectural sites. We've done this in the past. They're local sites in Anchorage. We're going to hopefully expand this to the other cities too. But so that people learn about what's going on right here in our city. And then, everything... with our Bling lecture series, we really try to make that connection for people with what's going on outside of Alaska and bring people up to Alaska that can speak to where we live. Mm-hmm. Another event that we were talking about with collaborating is we have Jessica Hish, who's a pretty well-known graphic designer and typographer. We are holding that event at the Anchorage Community Works, and we're trying to really transform that space so that when folks are coming in to attend that lecture, they're getting a different experience. And so
they're
going to
bling out our warehouse.
That is
apparently.
What we are going
to
do.
I don't know what that means yet, but I'm excited to see what it's going to be.
Well, if you want, yes, I'm excited too. We have a really great group of volunteers. Yeah. And so my last point, and I won't monopolize the conversation, anymore is that the design forum exists as it is because of the volunteer board that has just put their hearts and souls into developing this organization. And I feel that same way. Yesterday, I'm on the floor at International Gallery cutting these pieces for, Object Runway. And I'm looking over and there's Linda Fontaine-Lyons. And I met her 10 years ago as an artist. And here we are, like, still cutting fabric on the floor, and just that passion for making sure that community events happen. Blood, sweat, and tears.
I have a feeling if you were in the community, there's no way these art events wouldn't be happening. I mean, it just seems like you breathe and exude it, I want to go to the Alaska State Council on the Arts. Mm-hmm. Shannon, when you see a new kid on the block come up, like Anchorage Community Works, I mean, that's a new idea. Or would you say it's a new idea, and what do you think about it? Because the State Council on the Arts has been here as long as we've had a state. You see things come, you see things go. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to seeing Anchorage Community Works come on the block?
Well, I was overjoyed.
That's a nice response.
I think, in the arts sector, we talk a lot about the changing nature of participation. And I think all content providers are going through a revolution right now. So you look at, like, newspapers, TV shows, the whole TV distribution mechanism is changing. And the arts are part of that. And I think that, what both Object Runway and Anchorage Community Works do, they hit that kind of nexus of new models of participation, which is, to quote Bill Ivey, who is former chair of the National Endowment for the Arts, to encourage and allow people to lead expressive lives. So people want to make, they want to create now, in addition to watching and attending. But passive performance is kind of declining, where you just go in a quiet room and sit and watch something. So you see a lot of organizations that are really working to address these issues. And I want, you know, my goal with the State Arts Council is to really foster an environment where we can make these changes. And I think Alaskans can do it in a way that other states might not be able to. It makes me really excited.
That, I mean, everybody is a photographer. Everybody is a blogger. Everybody is maybe making art, even though they might not be confident enough to call themselves an artist yet.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So. And that's okay. Not everyone needs to be a professional artist.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be able to create, though.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Object Runway just, it like encapsulates this so well, because you have all these people creating works, and then you have this event that's highly social, very fun, well-produced. And it's just, I mean, you can see it in how fast the tickets sell out,
right.
You know? I mean,
yes,
it's really
it does feel participatory. That idea that people want to participate in the arts is really... You know, I mean, I think about hands-on museums. I just think about the Dena'ina exhibit that I just went to where, you know, you could actually see this meal being eaten right in front of you.
Museum.
Really, it's almost like you pull up to the table yourself.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't feel as if you're passively absorbing something. You're actually engaged. Mm-hmm. So that's a challenge. I guess, you know, you've got Workspace Brooklyn at the Anchorage Community Works where people can actually come and practice.
Yeah, and I think one thing that just off of what Shannon was saying, I think that being a participant in the art is extremely important. And I think another piece of that is making it so that the entry to participation doesn't feel scary. I think a lot of the times, you know, someone who might dabble is highly intimidated by, you know, a professional art studio or, you know, a dark room for photography or, you know, it seems a little intimidating to jump into the realm of professional artists. So I think it's important for us to provide, you know, classes and workshops and lectures and these kind of more participatory fun events.
Yeah.
So that people feel like they can kind of dabble and get their feet wet.
Right.
And feel like they're part of the process without, you know, having to go out and invest in like thousands of dollars worth of acrylic paint and canvas.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think a little bit of your project grants, Diane, where when I was reading what people got them for, they got them for collecting twigs to work on, you know, it wasn't a big sum of money for some installation. It was in the process of doing the work. And so I don't know how you decide whether someone is an artist or, I mean, you know, you let these committees decide, I guess. You know, people can apply. But you may get them all up and down the ladder of experience, beginning, middle, you know. And the project grants is an entry point for them, much like an unintimidating workspace might be from Anchorage Community Works.
Well, the vast majority of our funding actually goes to arts organizations. The individual artist grants are
tiny.
A pretty small part of that. And you would be surprised how few creative grants we get, and we can give grants really of any size, and I can count on one hand the number of grants to do creative work we get every year.
Wow, I'm surprised.
So applications for
yeah.
So, I think I wanted to go back to something Brooklyn said earlier about silos and organization.
Yes.
And while there are definitely moments of collaboration that occur here in the community, for the most part, I think it's been very, very difficult for those who have tried to organize artists in the Anchorage community and to even figure out a sustainable way to provide services. So the Trailer Arts Center in Mountain View is something we supported to a large degree. And I think, I don't know, the artists are, I think, spend a lot of time doing their work by themselves.
Alone.
It depends on who the artists are. But unlike just about every other community in Alaska that has an arts council, we don't have an arts council here. Kodiak has one, Bethel,
there used to be an Anchorage
Petersburg,
arts council.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But there is no organization that's keeping a common calendar. There's no organization that's really serving so far. So that might be, I don't know what it sounds like the group that Brooklyn is working with that's getting going is focused more on individual artist services, but there's a really substantial need just generally for coordination, organization, because as time goes on, I don't think anyone you'd ask would say federal and state money are going to go up. For the arts organizations, it's not that big a deal because they hardly get any anyway to begin with.
They live on air.
But corporate funding for the arts has gone down.
Yeah.
Individual funding of the arts has not gone up appreciably. So We're fortunate we have the Atwood Foundation here in town. That's a new player, so that's some new money for arts organizations. But I would say you'd be hard-pressed to find an arts organization that is not struggling in mm-hmm. Alaska in mm-hmm. some way. We're about, under the leadership of Jason Smart, our director in the arts, to roll out a new program for arts organizations that Shannon's organization will be involved in. And we see that those organizations, you know, are a place that gives opportunities to artists, whether it's to present for the performing arts, for the visual arts, whatever. And if those organizations are not healthy, that's another barrier for individual artists to have an opportunity to reach
if
audiences
they don't thrive,
or buyers.
Then they're not mm-hmm. there for the artists. So this is, what kind of program is this for arts organizations? Can you describe it a little bit?
Well, we're just really about to roll it out, but it will be talking about adaptive leadership. In other words, looking some of the kinds of things we've been talking about already. How do audiences like to be entertained, mm-hmm. participation, adapting to changing circumstances in the community, and so on. I think supporters of the arts just really have to step up in Alaska. You know, when the Anchorage Museum was getting ready to start its big capital campaign a few years ago, we looked through all the donors. There was not one person, not one, who gave $5,000 or more to the Anchorage Museum every year. That if they weren't getting it, pretty much nobody else was getting
right.
it either. And
right.
that's a pretty low threshold. I mean, you mm-hmm. go any other cities the size of Anchorage have many more people giving larger amounts. But I think if you look at the different arts institutions in our city, you have a lot of the same people serving on all
right.
the boards. People go to the same few corporations for support. So we're not really expanding or building philanthropic support. So some of the efforts of the Design Forum, for example, to get some of the small businesses in town, that's really what's got to happen. It's got to branch out and get a lot more people who say they value the arts, and it's actually 96% who say it, to be willing to put their money where their mouth is. People actually think when they go to the Performing Arts Center and buy a ticket that they are making a donation. They are not making a donation. If they're paying $75 for the ticket, I guarantee it costs $125 for them to sit in that seat.
Yeah.
But for some reason in their head, that's their donation. And when they're asked for a donation, they think, oh, I bought a season ticket or I bought a ticket. They go to an auction and they buy a $500 piece of art for $250 and they feel they've just made a donation.
Mm-hmm.
They've not
mm-hmm.
made a donation.
Yeah.
So we have to really change the thinking
yeah.
of the community. If you want to have it, you've got to step up and support it.
Yeah.
And PicClick Give is a great way to do it, for example. That's now
all those
a
arts
new
organizations
way.
Are available.
Many
that.
Of them are. But people have to start saying, you know, we don't pay for that much that we appreciate in the state. We're used to getting everything for free, and it's not free.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know I'm going to welcome Kevin Patterson on the show. Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in. He and I had an exchange before the show because he sent me his 10 points of what's wrong, why arts are struggling in Alaska, and I shared it with our guests here today. And, Kevin, I guess you said to me the other day, if the mountains disappeared, you know, if the streams were gone, we would notice it, but would we notice it if the arts were gone? And so why don't you talk a little bit about your sensibilities and tell us a little bit about how long you've been in Alaska, because you're not brand new, but relatively new.
Right, right. Well, I mean, first of all, I'd like to plant a big kiss on Diane Kaplan for the words that she just said, because I think they don't get said enough by more people than Diane. I mean, Diane says it everywhere she gets an opportunity. And I think we have to realize, I mean, I'm very new to the Anchorage area. I've been here about 20 months. But
and you're the executive director of the Anchorage Opera, right?
Yes, I'm the executive director of the Anchorage Opera. And, you know, what I have learned over my career in the arts, which is now 25, 26 years, is that the arts in every community are an ecology. And what I mean by that is, you know, when you talk about collaboration, sure, we're talking about collaboration amongst artists and we're talking about collaboration amongst groups, but it goes beyond that. It's collaboration between the arts and education because, you know, as said earlier in the show, so many of our artists, whether they be visual artists or performing artists, come out of our educational ranks. They're teaching during the day in schools because that's how they pay the bill.
Yeah.
And then they show in art galleries or they play in my orchestra or sing on my stage or act at Cyrano's or what have you in the evening. And so, you know, when we think about what's going on in the State House right now about education, and, you know, I'm a little bit stiffened by Ed Graff's comments yesterday of cutting, you know, 210 teachers and going, oh, goodness, you know, how many of those are going to be out of my orchestra?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. It's that kind of collaborative ecology that goes on in the arts. And we have to have all of those pieces in order to be successful. And I liken the change in the arts right now a little bit to the change that we're seeing going on in the environment with global warming. I mean, the ecology of the arts are under stress. And now it's how we respond. In some ways, really exciting ways, like Brooklyn Baggin and what she's doing at Anchorage Community Works, and really innovative ways. For those of us who are in what I call more monolithic institutions, those institutions that have been a part of our civic environment, like symphonies and operas and ballets, we need to find risk capital and adaptive thinkers, that like Diana's talking about with her program at Rathbison, to help us think differently about our audiences and what we present.
How do you do that?
Well, one way to do that is collaboration, uh-huh. I think. I mean, and I keep going back to this because I feel like a lot of times when you think about, well, how would, like, the Anchorage Opera and the Design Forum work together? That's, like, one example, and then I'm just throwing this out there because our, you know, our next lecture series is Signal Noise. And wouldn't it be cool to do something that is, you know, institutions in the I'm throwing this out there just so you know.
This is a special message for
here
you.
We are, here we go. But you know, just in terms of like thinking of ways that people who are passionate about the arts and in existence, like how can we collaborate together? And you know, just as he's talking about these organizations, these entities that have this sort of set model of funding and have these specific ideas about their audience, let's think about different ways to approach the audience. I think those are really exciting ideas.
I'm also interested in the concept of adaptation, arts organizations mm-hmm. adapting, which
exactly.
I guess means maybe inviting the audience to do more than they used to do besides just sitting there and watching. I don't know what that means.
Getting outside your facility,
yeah,
presenting
exactly.
a new, meeting them where they are.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to underscore Holly's point. I mean, I think that collaboration is key, but I think also cross-sector collaboration mm-hmm. in getting outside of the arts world and the people that you're working with so that you're reaching new audiences. Because there's not just one arts audience that we're all fighting over. There's a large audience, and we just need to grow it.
Mm-hmm. And why do we struggle to grow this audience? I mean, Diane is talking about people, the same people being in all the arts. Why can't we? We have a very international city. Maybe are we doing enough international arts? I mean, where's this new audience that we need, and how can we reach them?
I don't think there's a new audience. I just think that, you know, Kevin's opera has a very specific audience. I have a very different specific audience. I think that your different groups already have their kind of target audiences, and the collaboration really allows us to, you know, present the opera community with something they've never seen before, or present our community with opera. Like there's ways that we can be collaborating together to show our current audience something new, so that maybe they start going to the opera after that, and mm-hmm. and vice versa. I think our We keep them separate.
I would agree with Brooklyn on that, and I would also turn the discussion a little bit more to a business angle. You know, if you're a business person in, say, a retail or service environment, the clients you have are the easiest to maintain.
And Kevin, we are out of time. I'm so sorry. We'll have to have another arts discussion. It's been really, really fun having you on. We just are out of time. You're going to hear music here in a moment. That's just going to drown you out.
Bye, Kevin.
Okay.
So, Kevin, thank you so much. Thank you for your 10 points. It really gave me some food for thought, and I shared it with our audience. I guess I just really feel like we just got warmed up and we were just going, but it's the end of the hour, so I have to say thank you, all of you, for coming. Diane Kaplan, Holly McGuinn, Brooklyn Baggett, and Shannon Dowd. And I have to tell folks about next week. We will have Charles Woolforth back talking about Olympic dreams, past and future hopes of bringing the Olympics to Anchorage. Hometown Alaska's on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media. Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on a discussion of the arts and funding on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thank you.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.